A few meters behind her, lights came on all across R2-D2's torso and dome-like head. They did not indicate actual consciousness, not at first. The sequence in which they flashed was like a language to astromech engineers, who could talk at length about what power-up and self-test each sequence indicated. But as R2-D2's startup sequence activated his memory and reasoning centers, he began assembling data very fast, far faster than a waking human could. Across the dome, C-3PO had brazenly entered in his search for answers. The man who had attacked him was now in the process of swinging him around by his legs and slamming the golden droid into walls and permacrete flooring. The restraining bolt Monarch had plugged into R2-D2 was now on the floor a few meters away, discarded. That was good. Angie was in the middle of the hangar floor, staggering around in circles.
That was bad.
Alana was creeping up toward the man, a large tool in her hand, going from table to table and making use of them as available cover. R2-D2's threat analysis matrix marked it as a virtual certainty that she was going to attack the man. It was nearly as certain that the attack would fail. Comm frequencies were being jammed. R2-D2 had several messages waiting, all from C-3PO and Alana. One from C-3PO was most recent and was marked highest priority. He reviewed it in the milliseconds he waited for his motivators to come online completely.
I say, R2, I've sent you a wake-up command. With the luck I usually experience, it has probably had no effect. But if it has penetrated, please be aware that I am probably now in the process of being destroyed. This is chiefly a delaying tactic on my part, in the hope that you can awaken in time to rescue me. Or more importantly, Miss Amelia. I've attached the psychological profile of my assailant as stored by the computer system of local law enforcement authorities.
R2-D2's motivators came fully online. He immediately sent an emergency situation report to Zek and Taryn Zell, then settled himself into wheeled tripod configuration and rolled forward almost silently. Monarch was now folding C-3PO backward, exerting more and more pressure, threatening to snap the droid in half at the spine. The smile on Monarch's face was curiously friendly. Clearly, he was enjoying himself. R2-D2 had traveled no more than 5 meters when he received a response indicating that Zek and Taryn were aware of the situation and monitoring it from inside the hangar. He found this perplexing, since they had not yet made their presence known to Monarch. The solution to this puzzle came to R2-D2 a millisecond later, when he recalled the order he had been given not to reveal their presence to Alana, or even C-3PO. Obviously, they were operating deep undercover and needed to remain in hiding as they rendered assistance. R2-D2 vectored to the right to stay as much behind Monarch as possible during his approach. He rolled past Angie, then Alana, who gave a little gasp of surprise as he shot by. The astromech opened an external access plate and extended one of his many tools, an arc welder. He adjusted its electrical output to voltage and amperage that was less efficient in metal welding and more effective against living tissue. As he rolled up behind Monarch, he chose a target area, left buttock, a large and, for the moment, comparatively stationary region, and touched his welder to it, discharging current into it. The results were gratifying. Monarch seemed to leap straight up into the air, and the volume of his screech made him sound like the opening tones of a planetary alert siren. C-3PO crashed to the floor, straightening into something like his normal configuration. Monarch landed beyond him, clamping his hand over his buttocks, and spun to look at his new attacker. R2-D2 extended his welder in what he thought might look like a menacing pose, and rolled past C-3PO toward the human. Monarch ran, limping, along the curve of the wall away from the droids. The astromech ignored him and rolled up to the doors. He extruded his data jack and inserted it into the wall plug beside the doors. Normally, it would take several minutes to crack the security on this dome. It had taken that long when R2-D2 had entered for the first time. But Monarch, knowing that the astromech was helpless, had not bothered to change his codes. The doors unbolted and swung open. R2-D2 swiveled his head to look at his companions and tweedled at them. C-3PO struggling to his feet with a great whining of his servos nodded.
I agree. Miss Amelia, R2 suggests that we leave now, at a running pace.
Alana raced over to Angie and buried a hand in her fur, then led the cub toward R2-D2 and C-3PO. A mechanic droid reached for her stolen hydrospanner as she passed. Barely looking at the droid, she swung the tool at it without even thinking, just reacting to the sense of danger. The blow was as effective as Monarch's kick to C-3PO had been. The droid's head rocked, and the droid fell over. She reached the doors.
I was right!
Then she and Angie were through, into the darkness beyond.
Yes, you were right.
C-3PO waddled after her.
You were wrong.
If I had teeth, I would be gritting them at this moment. Yes, I was wrong.
R2-D2 issued a final command to the dome, then rolled in the wake of his friends. The doors closed behind him. As they locked, R2-D2 heard the distinctive sound of a blaster pistol being discharged, its bolt hammering into the thick durasteel of the shut door. The astromech knew that the lockup command he had issued would not delay Monarch for long, but any delay would help, especially the way Angie was staggering about. In addition, the comm center command he'd issued would keep the man from calling for support for some time, and that could be even more important.
Do you really have an ultimate fighter program?
Oh no, miss. I'm certain that a child of four could out-wrestle me on my best day.
Then we better hurry up and get Angie aboard the Falcon,
Alana said.
She doesn't look very good, and I don't think Monarch would be very nice to her if he caught us again.
I should think not. While pursuing you, I did access local files on our friend Monarch and his arrest record. He has a habit of becoming inebriated and engaging in unscheduled combat events involving his neighbors. I ran his behavior against a psychological analysis and prediction package and came up with a profile of, as they say, buttons to push in a variety of situations. When I entered the dome and saw that R2 was inert but freed of his restraining bolt, I took steps to awaken him and then keep our host's attention on myself while R2 awoke.
That was a good plan.
Thank you, miss.
I wish all your plans were that good.
C-3PO merely sighed.
Oh.